Adventist World Radio, from broadcast to baptism, powered by SID Media.
We're joined on the line by Elder Nxumalo. Good afternoon, my Elder. How are you doing this afternoon?
Good afternoon, my brother. I am still all right by God's grace. And how are you and the listeners?
Very well, thank you. By God's grace, we're still alive and kicking. Thank you so much for asking. Now, we have to remember that, you know, God is not confined by time and space. No matter what, God is beyond human comprehension, and God is high and lofty, the one who inhabits eternity. This is according to Isaiah 57:15. And if you're listening in this conversation, I do want to welcome you as well as we are conversating with, Elder Ndabezinhle Nxumalo. Now, the Trinity is one of the mysteries, as it were, of Christian faith. And today we are focusing on the characteristics of, each member of the Godhead. Now, do explain to us, my Elder, the characteristics and functions of the three gods.
I would say, in a highly summarized fashion, because what I'm going to say, I would not like to be quoted, because these are extrapolations from what I'm picking up from the scriptures. So hopefully we'll be able to share some basic references. So the first thing that I would say is, based on what we discussed yesterday, mm-hmm. God is one. So in other words, what we find out about the Father is the same with the Son and with the Spirit, mm-hmm. and across the board, yeah. Implying, when you study just the one member or the one person of the Godhead, you'll be beautifully surprised to find that these characteristics you find are exactly what you'll find in the other. Let me give a few scriptural references. For example, Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 4, which is a very pivotal text in these discussions, called the Shema amongst the Hebrew people. Hear, O Israel, the Lord God is one. Okay. In that text, it uses the English words, the Lord God is one. Okay. Implying, when you go back to the original Hebrew text, the Lord is the word usually translated as Jehovah in the English language, which is God's personal name, the one with which he introduced himself to Moses. He says, tell them the I am, the Lord, sent you. All right. And then the word translated as God is the generic term in the Hebrew. It's Elohim. And it's the one that actually exists in the plural. So the Lord, singular, God, plural, is one. I think you understand where I'm going with this, which is that mysterious thing we were talking about yesterday.
Is it really mysterious, though? Because if you're looking at the context of that verse, the Shema is spoken in a context where Hebrews had never known about Jesus. And so they would not have imagined an existence of a Jesus, for that matter. So that verse is actually not spoken in a context of a Trinity, as it were. Do you think?
I think it is, because this is no wonder Jesus, when he came and he began speaking, and he said, before Abraham was, I am. And they immediately wanted to stone him because they were saying he was blasphemous. Remember, one of the definitions of blasphemy is when a mere creature claims to be divine.
I understand that. I understand that Christ lived and he lives beyond all of these. Before Abraham was, he was. Fact. What I'm trying to ask you is, this verse, the Shema, is spoken by Moses. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, etc., etc. Now, these people at that time are people who are from Egypt, who, number one, have very little knowledge of God himself. And so this is an introduction of God, as it were, continuation of an introduction of a God who saves them, etc., etc. Yahweh, as it were, Elohim, as you explain it, which is. But I am asking, Because we don't see anywhere in that book of Deuteronomy, in fact, in the whole Torah, any mention of Jesus, as it were. Now, I'm asking if you believe that the children of Israel understood that there was a Jesus somewhere.
They did, my brother. And the reason why I'm saying they did is because of the discussion we had yesterday.
Okay.
Moses is the same character who wrote the book of Genesis. Like you said, the Torah, five books. And that narrative is continuous. Now, with each time where he will put what we would call a hint, all right, and knowing that when they moved to Egypt, they were in a separate area in Goshen as Israelites. So they were not intermingled with the Egyptians. And that's, you'll find that their oral history before Moses began writing was quite clear about the gospel narrative that we're mentioning, which is why Christ, when he eventually came, expected them to know who he was.
Okay. All right. Now, that's fine, I hear you. Now, you're saying that there is Godfather, God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and we're talking about their characteristics here today. And as you're going delving deeper into their characteristics, are these characters equal?
These characters are definitely equal. I will immediately cite a biblical text with respect to what Christ mentioned.
Okay.
About the Spirit in John chapters 14, 15, and 16. He says, I will ask the Father, referring to the first member, if, as it were, of the Godhead, to send you another comforter. And when he uses the words another comforter, he is referring to himself as the comforter. So if another comforter will come in his place, that comforter will exactly fill the shoes that Christ was filling. In other words, there's an equality here that's concerned. Then another text before you Philippians chapter 2, verse 5.
No. Hang on, before you go to that verse, this verse does not talk about equality.
It does, because when you say, I am sending you another comforter, if they are not equal, he cannot be another comforter.
Now, Christ is saying, I will speak to my Father. That's what you said when you started. Surely, if you're an equal, you're not going to ask your Father. You're not going to go to daddy.
Yes. Remember, we're going deeper in this issue because at this time, as Christ is speaking, he has become flesh. The issue of his condensation. That's why I was quickly going to Philippians chapter 2.
So effectively, if he has then become flesh, surely he's not equal to him at that time, is he?
No, this is where the issue about their roles becomes clear, because it's a question of how the husband is equal to the wife, but in their roles, they don't feel the same roles. And in that sense, you will find that the husband is the head of the wife. That doesn't mean the husband is superior to the wife.
Well,
they are equal.
Yeah. Well, continue. What does the Ephesians say? Ephesians?
So Ephesians chapter 2, verse 5 says, let this mind be in you that was in Christ. And you proceed to verse 6, which says, who didn't consider equality with God something to be grasped, but then he lowered himself, using my own terms, or as the translations would say, he condescended, he submitted, he lowered. Basically, it's a voluntary position of saying, look, within our equality, I am going to play a role of being subservient to you. But that doesn't mean he has lost the equality.
Okay.
It's for the sake of our salvation that he assumed that role.
All right, that's good. Now, tell me then, the function of the three, where does it differ?
Yes. They, first of all, having covered the issue that they are actually the same, where it differs now is in terms of their own, in terms of their own administration, which is revealed in the Bible. The Father assumes like a certain supersedence to everything that they do. Christ is always playing the role of lowering himself in order to relate to his intelligent creature, creation. Like, for example, we also know Christ as the archangel, Michael. So when he mingles with the angels, he mingles with them at the level of the angels. It's as if he were one of them. But the understanding is he is not one of us. He merely appears to be. Inasmuch as when he was flesh, he was God in the flesh. He was not just totally flesh.
Yeah.
That's the And then finally, the role of the Spirit is in reference especially to our situation right now. Christ, having assumed the position of being flesh, no longer possesses the characteristic of being omnipresent. He cannot be present in more than one place at the same time. And therefore, he has delegated, or he has actually left that role to the Holy Spirit, that now in his physical absence, now that he is flesh, the Spirit will assume that role, where we can still feel the effect of Christ no matter where you are across this entire planet, by virtue of the fact that the Spirit is still omnipresent. Yes.
So when we get to heaven, because we believe we'll be in heaven one day, will we see the Father on his throne, and then on his left and right is the Son and the Spirit?
That has not been revealed in a clear biblical text, but my assumption is, based on the fact that this reality has been presented to us, I believe it will be our privilege to then see them.
Well, yes. It does talk about the Son being at the right hand of the Father, doesn't it?
Yes, it definitely does.
Yeah, because you, it's something that I was talking from, and I'm not sure if you're saying we've not been privy to that, but I think there is some semblance of a mention there, not so?
Actually, it's not even a semblance, but now that one is specific to Father and Son. Now, as referring to the three,
I see.
There is no mention, and in fact, on that basis, some people are actually questioning whether the Spirit is a third person of the Godhead, because they don't see him mentioned in certain critical texts in the Bible, including this one that you've just cited.
So effectively, we are likely to see the throne room with the seat of the Father and also the Son next to him, and we don't know anything about the Holy Spirit.
Because the Bible hasn't commented to that effect about the Spirit.
I see.
Yeah.
Now, right. Now, does the Bible ever go into how the Godhead came to inhabit those specific roles?
It gives a hint based on the narrative that we get from the Bible, because my understanding is the Bible is there in order to explain to us as humanity why we're in this mess of a planet, and how God wants to actually redeem us from the mess. In that sense, then the identities of these three beings becomes clear in salvation's story. So first of all of them are working in concert in order to make sure humanity is saved from sin. But then they've assigned themselves specific and different roles, which complement each other to make sure that mankind is brought back to a world of perfection as it used to be before sin came into the world.
You know, we keep on saying, and I think this is how we understand it, because this is how we pronounce it, that these three beings, and they are working in concert, and we are saying they, which is a plural, and we continuously, and yet we are saying God is one, and yet we're continuously saying they. Now, there's a concept that indeed we are monotheists because we believe that God is one, and we're not polytheists because we do not believe in a multiplicity of gods. Now, looks like we are not quite sure. What are we, polytheists or monotheists?
Then the issue now goes down to the issue of language in terms of definitions, which is why yesterday we briefly touched on this issue, but in the interest of time was not on our side.
Right.
Yes. But like as I said to you, within our own languages, we do have those concepts, even within our natural world, where we refer to certain things in the collective, but in a singular. And we all understand, though this has been referred to in the singular, is referring to a multiplicity of entities.
Yes. So okay.
If we are clear about that just within our own world, why would it be crazy to think about it at a divine level?
Lovely.
I don't
All right. Okay. No, well, my elder, I must thank you so much for coming through and giving us these gems that we find in the scripture. Thank you so much for joining us. We're going to be connecting with you once again tomorrow, same time and same place.
Blessings, my brother. Blessings, and may the Lord bless you and the program and your listeners.
Thank you so much. Blessings to you.
Thanks.
Adventist World Radio, from broadcast to baptism, powered by SID Media.